visitors here this morning. It's good to see you, Sister Doris. And Brother Paul called me yesterday. Sister Susie is doing a lot better. She still has a little numbness in her left side, but she's been able to get around without the walker now. But they had COVID real bad down there in the community, and they've had a couple of funerals, and they attended the funerals, and then they've had one couple down there just here the other day. The wife went into the hospital with COVID, and then a day or so later, the husband went into the hospital with COVID. So that's why they're not here today. And so just remember them in prayer. Brother Phil's out of town, and so just remember him in prayer. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we turn to the scriptures this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here and worship you, Lord, and to come and to hear your word, Lord. And we ask that you would guide us through the scriptures and the message this morning, dear God, to be able to be a help, Lord, and Father, to the people, and to be a blessing, we pray. And we give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, if you could turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. Verse 16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then I'd also like to read from Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And as we read, we're going to be continuing to speak on love projected today. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Amen. You may be seated. God so loved the world that he made a way for everyone to be saved. His love was projected to the entire world. And the world will have to answer for that love being projected and what they did with it. Just like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and asked him, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And of course we know that he told him to keep the commandments. And he said, "This I've done from my youth." He was raised in a religious home. And he said he had did this from his youth, but Jesus said, "Sell all you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." And the Bible says that Jesus, looking on him, beheld him and loved him, meaning Jesus projected love to him. But the young man turned away from it. And the Bible said he was sad at Jesus saying, and turned away from him. So he had to answer for Jesus projecting love to him and what he did with that love that was projected to him. He turned it down. And the world will have to answer for what they've done, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that they would have a way to be saved. And if they reject that, then there's nothing left but the judgment. And they'll be judged because God shed his love abroad by giving his only Son. And God gave his Son that we could be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And his love was projected into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Branham says in the message of love, he said, Christians can have their ups and downs. We all have them. We have our ups and downs. And we're human. And we're affected by this flesh. And we have a human spirit with emotions and imagination and conscience and memory and affection. And we're affected by these things in our spirit. And some that just live in that realm, why, they'll really experience some ups and downs. Because if you live by your emotions, when you feel good, you're on the housetop. But when things aren't going so good and you don't feel so well, well then, you're down in the mully grubs. Brother Branham said, if you've got the love of God in your heart, you could be on the housetop all the time, no matter what condition you're in. No matter how the things are around you, you could be on the housetop because you know that your life is in God's hands and there's nothing can befall you what God wouldn't allow it. Anything that goes on in your life, God knows about it. Brother Branham said he's interested in you. He cares about you. He's interested in what goes on in your life. You say, well, why does he let things seemingly to go bad sometimes? That's actually his love being projected to you. Because he's allowing you to be able to see when he moves on the scene for your behalf. He's showing you that he cares, that he loves you. How could God show you that he loved you if you never needed him? So sometimes in this life, we've got to be reminded. It's like that song says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human. Sometimes humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So God reminds us. He allows things to come our way. I remember years ago hearing Brother Tim Pruitt say, when you get sick, realize that it's just an opportunity to get healed. Don't get down all sad about it because you're sick, but look at it. It's an opportunity. When you come down to death's door, it's an opportunity. It's not the end of the road. It's just the end of this life. But it's not the end of the road for you because you can't die. You have eternal life. And I'll tell you what, there's a life much better than this one. We do err, Brother Branham said, when we limit God by our imagination. When I read that quote, it made me think of when Brother Branham was out mowing the yard, which I brought up last Sunday, and he ran over that nest of hornets, and he said just in a few seconds' time they had totally covered him, and he knew if they all stung him once, it could kill him. But he says, something happened. Something happened to him from the inside. And instead of being afraid and running and screaming, he said, he projected love to him. And said, I didn't mean to disturb you. I was just trying to mow the lawn and I didn't see you. And I've got God's children that come up here in my home to be prayed for so you can't harm me. The same creator that made you made me. And if you'll just go on back to your nest, I won't bother you no more. He didn't say, I'll tell you what, if I get out of this mess, I'm going to pour gasoline down your hole and set some fire and we'll be done with you. He said, I won't bother you no more. I've got a natural fear of loss, especially them red ones, because I've been stung several times by them things, and I got an allergy to them. And when them things sting you, I swell up real bad. And my natural reaction when they come was to run, try to get away from them. I tried to get them distracted by somebody else, chase somebody else besides me, but they stayed on my tail. I was up on a ladder one time spraying. When I lived over by the Morans, I was spraying for wasps and that, and I'd lifted up some of the siding, was spraying under there, and a bunch of them came out, and I tried to get back off that ladder, and down I went straight to the ground. That's the natural reaction we have. But Brother Branham said something happened. Something happened to him that he didn't have that natural human reaction. And you know what he said about it? He said, "I wish I could feel that all the time." It was love. He said, "I wish I could feel that all the time." What came over him when them hornets came up. What faith we should have in God and His Word. Brother Benham talks about when he was going to pray for someone, and he was a game warden. And he thought, well, he couldn't take his gun with him and go pray for him, so he took his handgun out and set it on the table and then left. And he forgot about this bull being in this pasture. And the reason he forgot about it was the farmer who owned it had just actually bought it because it had, about a month ago, killed a man. And it was a longhorn. So it had big old long horns, and it was a killer bull. It just a month before had gored a man to death. And he said he forgot about it. He started crossing that pasture, got out there where he was out in the middle of it. There was nothing around, and all of a sudden that bull raised up. And he said he didn't get afraid of it. He looked around. There was no tree to climb up, no bush or nothing around him. He looked over to back where the fence was. He said there's no way he could make it back to the fence. So he looked at the bull, and he said, "You can't harm me now because I'm a servant of the Lord. And I'm on my way to go pray for somebody. So I'm sorry I disturbed you. Just go on back over there and lay down." And he said the bull ran within about 5 feet of him. That's pretty close. And stopped. Looked this way and that way. Turned around and went over and laid down. And he said what he did, he projected love to it. Instead of hating that bull or wanting that bull killed, dead, instead he projected love. Friends, look, if projecting love to animals can cause them to do that, then what would it cause if we projected love to one another? It would solve a lot of our problems. It would solve our differences. Love will, you know, my wife and I, we soon, in just a month, will be married 39 years. And, you know, I've got my faults, but she loves me, so she overlooks my faults. There's little things that each of us have. And we just look right on past them things because we love one another. Now you think that's funny, but I remember some 20 years ago reading about a case in the news, that a couple, different things couples were getting divorced over. And one of them that kind of sticks in my memory was there was one couple getting divorced because the wife didn't like because the husband squeezed the toothpaste tube in the middle. That's the truth that was in the news. So they didn't obviously didn't have enough love that they couldn't overlook toothpaste tube being squeezed. And the husband said, well, she makes too much noise when she chews. Their marriage never did start out with love. And if we have the right kind of love for one another, we all got our faults. But if we've got the right kind of love for one another, we can overlook those faults. Brother Branham also talked about when that maniac come up on the platform and said he was going to break every bone in Brother Branham's body. I mentioned this last Sunday. Brother Branham said he projected love to him. He thought, this man is just a man, but he's bound by a devil. And said he felt sorry for him. And he projected love. And he said, look what it did to that maniac. He said it caused him to fall down across my feet, just like the Holy Ghost said he would. But then remember that policeman asked Brother Branham, said, did he get delivered? Brother Branham said, no, because he worships that spirit. And the reason this struck me so much was because you could project love to people of the world just like God projected love by sending his only begotten son to die for the entire world. But just because you project love doesn't mean that there's going to be people that won't reject the love you're projecting. They won't walk away from it. If they love this world and the things of this world more than then the Bible says the love of God's not in them. And if the love of God's not in them, friends, they got nothing to receive the love of God with. So no matter how much love you project to them, they're going to walk away from it. They'll spit in your face, kick you in the teeth. It didn't mean anything to them. People of the world today don't even know what the meaning of love is. This world has changed to where it's no longer a bad thing if they go around sleeping around everywhere. That's now become acceptable in society. What's not acceptable in society is to remain a virgin till you're married. That's not acceptable no more. That's looked down upon. This world has changed, friends. Brother Branham talks about the corruption that was here when he was alive, but it's got a lot worse. It's got a lot worse. Brother Branham said, if we could just get the whole atmosphere in here of love, then watch what God would do. Let's read from 1 John chapter 4, begin at verse 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. God loves you in spite of all your faults. There's nothing you can do that'll make God love you less. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. God loves you completely. God's not surprised by the things that's happened in your life. He knew everything that would ever take place. Faith. There's a value in faith. But you can't have faith and fear. Fear is a basis for doubt. Fear is accompanied by doubt. Love is accompanied by faith. We know we're supposed to fear God in that we're supposed to respect him, but we're not supposed to be afraid of God. God doesn't correct us through fear. I've seen men use fear to bring correction. That's not the example God has given us. God uses love to bring correction. His love is corrective. We'll perhaps get on that the next time. But you've got to have love before you can have faith. Love produces faith because perfect love casts out fear. The man says love will make you do things. And then he talked about, and we spoke about this last Sunday, Arnold van Winkelried and what he did for Switzerland. And he said, love will make you do things. But you know what? Fear will also make you do things. Fear will make you say things. Where love will provoke you to say good things, fear can cause you to strike out with words. We need that perfect love. Remember the angel told Brother Branham when he went beyond the curtain of time, he says, only those with perfect love can enter here. We need for God to perfect our love. Perfect our love for him. If our love becomes perfect for him, it will be perfect for one another. Because we can only love God as we love one another. I can only love God as I love you, and you can only love God as you love me. And you love each other. The Bible says, Jesus spoke and said, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So when you love one another, you're showing love to God. But when you allow fear to enter in, then you'll do and say things then what are you projecting? Friends, Satan, he's a slick one. And he knows where, if I say it this way, he knows where your buttons are. And he'll make sure to try to push them. To try to get you to react in fear. React defensively. It's a natural thing I have found, even in my own life. Somebody goes to say something about my family, I got to watch, I'll get defensive real quick. That's my family. But you got to remember that individual may not mean it in the way that you're saying that you're perceiving it. Sometimes our perception is wrong. And our memories can be wrong. We can remember something a way that it never even happened. When Jessica was just a little toddler, we lived out in Kansas in a trailer park. And she went to open the door. We were getting ready to leave. She went to open the door. When she did it, this cat jumped in. And it startled her. Well, she had nightmares about that cat startling her like that. And in her dreams, that cat attacked her. So in her memory, she remembers opening that door and that cat attacking her. But the cat never attacked her. It just jumped in the door. But see, our memories can be like that. I don't mean to pick on you. But our memories can be like that. We can remember something a certain way and it not be that way at all. But see, trauma and fear will cause your memory to get warped and you remember things incorrectly. Perceive things wrong. We think someone's trying to say something against us, why? We'll get defensive. That's fear that causes that. And then fear will cause you to retaliate. But love will cause you to do what Jesus said, return good for evil. The Bible actually says we're to provoke one another to love. And what that means is we're actually to be able to project love in such a way that it'll cause our brother and sister to project that love back. Love will bring the right results. Let's read in John chapter 13, verse 34. Pardon me. John writes the words of Jesus here. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. By what? Not because you shake hands. Not because you belong to a church. but because you have love one for another. If you don't have love one for another, then you cannot be his disciples. But he said, by this, you'll be identified as my disciples if you have love one for another. In the message of God's preparation, Brother Branham says, if you haven't got love, Paul said, you got nothing. You remember what he's referring to. Though you speak with tongues of men and angels, yet not have charity, you have nothing. Without love, you haven't got the Holy Ghost. If you don't have love, Brother Bram said, then you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Because the Bible says that he shed his love abroad, that we could have the love of God by the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram says, you know, love today is so hard to find. This was in 1954. Love is so hard to find. The Bible said there'd come a time when there wouldn't even be love for one another. That father would be against mother and mother against father and children against parents and so forth. And the only love would be left would just be between the elect. I think we're coming to that. I think we've reached that. The world doesn't even know what real love is anymore. Not when they've got their societies of corruption, LGBT or whatever it is. That's not real love. That is polluted. Without natural affection, the Bible says. Love is a scarce thing today. Look at the home breaks. Now, when you hear that, you think about Brother Branham must be talking about divorces and so forth, breaking up the homes. But when I read it the other day, what it got me to thinking about was how Satan tries to raise his ugly head within the homes and cause disruption. I know we're human, and we won't always see eye to eye, but the devil sure likes to point out things to make us have our differences. I do not think that God provokes us to argue with one another. I don't believe that. I do not think that God provokes us to be depressed. I do not think that God provokes us for anything but to love. He doesn't provoke us to get upset, to get down on ourselves. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. We're not a bunch of losers. We're more than conquerors. We can overcome by His Spirit. He says in 1957, about the only religion and salvation we have, and the love is amongst the real godly people. You know, the Bible said that would happen. You Bible readers, that's right. The love would be so far away in the last days, only love would be left would be between the elect of God's people. Father be against mother, mother against father, children against parents, different ones against each other. Mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, father-in-law against the son-in-law, father against son, daughter against mother. That's the spirit of the world. We should be able to love one another. Look, I've raised my children, and I've made mistakes. And I look back, and I can see that my dad made mistakes. But I don't hate my dad for those mistakes. As I've got to where I was raising children, I began to understand a whole lot more. We're human. We've made mistakes. But there was things that we done for our children that we done out of love. A selfless love. Now, I'm not sure. I guess there's probably jobs out there that people love to go to. But I haven't heard too many of them. I've seen bumper stickers. People say, I'd rather be fishing. About what they're going to do when they retire. So what makes a man go to work when he doesn't really feel like going to work? His love for his family. His love for his family. Now, if he don't have that right kind of love for his family and he loves self more, he'll decide, well, I just don't feel like going. I feel like doing something else instead. I feel like doing something to make me feel good. But if he's got the right kind of love, just like Brother Branham says, motherhood is the backbone of the nation. He says, and the backbone's broke. Scarce to find real motherhood, Brother Branham said, in this world. That really loves their children. But if you really love him, he says a mother will lay down her life for that child. Brother Branham tells a story. These things aren't in my notes. But Brother Branham tells a story about a young girl that was real beautiful. And she was coming home from school with a friend. She was coming back to her town. And her mother came out to meet her at the train. And she was all embarrassed by her mother because her mother looked so ugly. She was scarred. He said a man saw how she was acting toward her mother, and he said, wait a minute, I want to tell you something. He said, you're beautiful today because she sacrificed her life for you in a fire to save you. Where you wouldn't be scarred up, she got all scarred up and burned up in a fire. That's a real mother, Brother Branham said. Lay down her life for a child. You know, I'll show you how much God loves us. You know, I've heard a lot of people quote Psalms 23. And they'll say, yea, though I walk through the dark shadows of the valley of death. Dark's not in that verse. It can't be dark. It can't be all dark, because if it was, it wouldn't have a shadow. So there's got to be some light to produce a shadow. Because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So in order for death to cast a shadow, there's got to be some light. So don't worry about if you're coming down to death, there's going to be light there. Brother Branham said that you'll be met by the morning star that'll shine light in the valley. Hallelujah. It's a shadow. I remember hearing Brother Dan Daisley quote this scripture. And he would say, nobody's ever been bit by the shadow of a dog. Nobody's ever been killed by the shadow of a gun. He said, death's just a shadow. It can't hurt you. It's just a shadow. It takes this body and puts this body in the ground, but it can't touch you. You live forever in a life much better than this one. I remember when Sister Susan, y'all remember her years ago. I remember when I went to see her right before she passed. I went to see her in the hospital, and she was in so much pain, and they couldn't lay her down flat in the bed. So they had her strapped to a bed and had the bed up about like this. And I went in and laid my hand on her hand. And she said, anytime I'd go visit her hospital, she'd always ask me, Brother Jerry, am I going to die? And I would say, well, I don't know. God ain't showed me. But this time, she asked me, Brother Jerry, am I going to die? And I said, Sister Susan, what better healing could you have than to step into a new body in the next few moments? She nodded her head. She knew more about medicine than some of the nurses did. She had been refusing pain pills. She said, I don't want you giving me nothing until my pastor gets up here where I can talk to him. And after I left, the nurse told me as soon as I left, she called for the nurse and said, give me such and such. And what they gave her made her completely lose consciousness. I got a call later from some of her family and friends, and said she was in a coma, and said he wanted me to come up and pray for her that she come out of that coma. And I went up there and I asked the nurse, I got the nurse to the side, and I said, I'm her pastor. I said, if she was to come out of that coma, what condition would she be in? She said, look, her legs have done burst from fluids. She said she'd be in so much pain, she wouldn't even be able to comprehend anything. I said, all right. So I went over to pray for her, and I didn't say no big old loud prayer. My prayer wasn't meant for everybody else in that room. My prayer was between me, her, and God. And I said, Lord, if there is nothing preventing her from crossing over to be with you, then don't let her come to, just go on and take her. I said, but Lord, if there's something that's preventing her and she needs to come awake, maybe to make something right or something, then Lord, bring her around where she can make that right so there won't be no hindrance. And it was a Saturday night. I had to preach the next morning. So I left on out of there. It was real late. It was around midnight. And I left on out of the hospital. And they said it wasn't long after I left, she passed. What better healing could she have than to, I tell you what, that sister had so many things wrong with her. But she, in a few moments, had a brand new body. She wasn't feeling no pain. Wouldn't have come back for nothing in the world. You know, we only have so many heartbeats in our lives. Each time a heart beats, that's one less beat we've got. One of these days, our heart will beat its last beat. But we've got a promise of the here beyond. It's not just a hope so. It's a promise. It's a promise of his word. Ye have passed from death unto life. Not to come into the condemnation. To never come into judgment. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another, bearing with one another. Forbearing one another. In other words, sometimes something else could be going on in their life when you cross their path. Or when you get on the phone with them, you don't know what they might be going through. You don't know what somebody else might have said something to them. So if something doesn't sound just right, just take into account you don't know what's going on in their life. You ain't walked in their shoes. No, it's your brother. It's your sister. And if something said it hurts you, that's just the enemy. That ain't your brother or sister. First Peter 1:22 said, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. And unfeigned means without hypocrisy. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. First Peter 3:8 says, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful. Be courteous. Let's read from 1 John chapter 3 before we close. First John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Why? Because we have love one for another. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we've come into your house this morning, dear God, and we've worshiped. We've heard the word. We've read your word. We've heard your message. Lord, we want to have the right kind of love one for another. Lord, Brother Branham said one of the things that would hold sinners back is if they didn't see love in our midst. Why would someone want to come and serve God here unless we were projecting love one to another? Lord, we need to have such an atmosphere of love between us that when strangers would walk in the door, the very thing they would perceive would be this atmosphere of love. That love would be projected toward them from each member here. And that they could feel the love that each one was having one for another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. Lord, we have failed many times in our flesh. Lord, we want to take dominion of this flesh, that we can rule over it by the word of God and by love. Lord, that we could project love one to another. For we only love you as we love one another. Bible says that if we say we love you but don't love our brother, then we're a liar. The love of God's not in us. For if we love you, we'll love one another. I ask for your blessings on your people today, Lord. Lord, you know their plans. You know what gatherings they may have. I pray that your blessings be upon them. Watch over them, God. Bless their time together. Keep them safe. Bring them back, I pray, at the appointed time. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I just wanted to make an announcement that I and my family are going to be going on vacation, so we won't be here with you next Sunday. And but Brother Phil will be here, and so just keep us in your prayers, and then we'll be back home by the 11th or 12th, something like that. And so God bless you.